Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, it is Taz and the Moose with you here on this Tuesday morning. We've talked a lot of NBA. Let's welcome aboard right now Ian Thompson, author of The Soul of Basketball. Talk a little about the association with him. Hey, Ian, Taz and the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning.
What's up, Ian?
Hey, good to hear you guys. How you doing?
All right.
Doing well. How about yourself, all right?
Oh, great. Great. Playoffs are unpredictable more than ever.
They really are. And, you know, Ian, Taz and I were talking about, let's talk about the game and the strange game out in Golden State last night. You know, to see the Clippers come back from 31 down, Boogie Cousins has now got that quad injury. Did we learn anything of significance about Golden State last night?
Yeah, you know, I came in the playoffs thinking they weren't going to win the championship just because it's so hard to do what they're trying to do over a course of 5 years. And I think this is another sign of it, that, look, other teams are coming in the playoffs all fired up, and it's like a once-in-a-lifetime experience for them. And for Golden State, this is just old hat now, you know?
So, Ian, you kind of feel like a little complacency by Golden State.
Absolutely, and fatigue. I think the complacency is all because of fatigue. You just get wiped out, and you see it time after time. You saw it with Kobe Bryant's last contending team. All of a sudden, they just get smoked by Dallas. They got swept by Dallas. You see it. You see Michael Jordan having to, quote, retire to go play baseball because of three straight championships just wore him out. It's a hard thing to do, and I think you're seeing the effects of it. They should still win the championship, but, you know, on paper at least. And they have more than enough talent to do it, even if they're playing at 85% or something. But I just think there are real warning signs out there for them now. Not in this series. They're going to win this series. But when they have to play Houston, who is a really hungry, fired-up team, that's going to be a real tough thing for the Warriors.
When you look at and I get that, and that's fair. How about the other game, Philadelphia and the Nets? I mean, the 76ers turned it on in the third quarter, dropping in 51 points. Game was right there at half. The Nets come into it, leading the series one game to none. How about this 76er team? We know that Embiid's not 100% healthy with that balky knee. But what about this 76er team this year? What you saw last night, third quarter, is that what – and they've not been consistently that. If they are, they can get themselves to the NBA final. What about their early impressions of 76ers and Nets?
You know, I totally agree with you. If they could do that all the time, then they'd be much different than the team we know today. They look at the Nets and wish, in a way, that they were the Nets, because the Nets play together. They play hard. They know who they are. Every guy's got a role. They do all the team things. You know, the Nets are a little bit like the East Coast version of the Clippers, an overachieving team. And Philly doesn't have that because they've added all these players in short order, and they haven't had time to make it work. And that the players they've added don't necessarily fit together. They've been able to get each guy based on value. You know, they were able to get good value, train for Harris, train for Butler. But the pieces don't really fit together. Ben Simmons is a great player, but he can't shoot. So they have holes in their game that they're trying to connect. And I think it's asking too much of their coach, Brett Brown, to do it this quickly, to expect that they're going to go far in the playoffs with a team that doesn't really work well together yet.
So let me ask you, Ian, so who has the, would you say, let's just say coaching edge, for lack of a better term, Atkinson or Brown, off of your point?
Oh, I mean, you know, when you have the most talent, you always have the edge.
right, true.
I think Brett Brown's done an amazing job, coaching job, with that team. How many coaches are worthy of being kept after losing all the games that he's lost? That's the testament of how good a coach he is.
That is a good point, Ian. It is, but now it's a question of whether or not he can get that team to play consistently. When you know, as we jump around, let's stay in the East and we'll head back out West here. You know, in that Eastern Conference, you know, Milwaukee, you mentioned about a team that's come in with excitement, firing on all cylinders. I mean, that's the Milwaukee Bucks, right? I mean, the The number one seed in the East, home court advantage throughout, the MVP of the league in the Greek Freak, and they've dealt with some injuries as well. They keep on ticking. They sent a message in game one. What makes this Buck team so special from your eyes, Ian?
Well, I mean, they got a great break drawing Detroit, which is not a good playoff team at all, and then not having Blake Griffin on top of it. But what the Bucks have now is organization, and last year they didn't have it. They went through a coaching change, and when they got into the playoffs, they really didn't know what they're doing. And now they have Mike Budenholzer, who's probably going to be coach of the year, and he's got them playing as a team. Look, the Bucks don't give up easy baskets. They get back on defense, and they don't give up shots at the rim. So in addition to having Giannis Antetokounmpo, who's probably going to be the MVP, I would vote for James Harden myself, but it looks like Giannis is going to win it. You know, on top of having him and Chris Middleton's become a star in a way, they play really hard, organized defense. And that's a great thing for them because they don't have the talent of the other teams. Apart from Giannis, you know, if they were to play Boston next round, Boston actually has more talent across the board than the Bucks, but the Bucks know how to use it better. When the Bucks look at the Nets, the Bucks say, yeah, you're no better than us as far as teamwork. We're just as good as you, and we have way more talent.
You're listening to CBS Sports Radio. Our guest is Taz and Moose. Also, our guest is Ian Thompson, author of The Soul of Basketball. So, Ian, let's talk about Pacers-Celtics. I mean, can they keep rolling here, Boston?
Yeah, they should because, again, the Pacers are a bit like the Pistons. They're missing their best player, and they just can't score enough. I would think the series won't go any more than six. It should go five. If it goes more than five, then the Celtics are in trouble. They're back to the kind of trouble they were in during the regular season. They should really finish this off quickly because, you know, Milwaukee's going to finish their series off fast. And you don't want the Bucks sitting around waiting for the Celtics and the Celtics being tired and beat up going into that series. It's going to take everything Boston has to try to beat Milwaukee in the next round. And I think that's where both series are, guys. We can look past both these series in a way and just look forward to the next round in Milwaukee and Boston.
Now, how about Toronto and Orlando? Orlando stuns the Raptors in game one. We know the Raptors struggles in the postseason, underperforming based on off of regular season success. They had Kawhi Leonard to kind of put this team over the top this year. What about this Raptor team? Not just the Orlando series, but the great threat that they are to Milwaukee.
You know, I view them as the favorite in the East. But then they open the playoffs like this every year, and this little bit of insecurity that they have going into the playoffs, it hurts them early on, and they have to overcome it. They almost have to convince themselves that they're better than they're playing, or they're better than they think they are. They just don't play with a lot of confidence coming into the playoffs, and it's like they have to work themselves up from that. That's what I expect them to do. They should win this series. It should be no more than a six-game series. They should pull their act together. But that's a really lively, young team they're playing with a lot of length, a lot of athleticism. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but Toronto's been really good all year. And they've got the best mix of talent and togetherness in the East. That's why I think they're going to win the East.
So, Ian, if we head out west, right, we talk Thunder and Trailblazers. So let me ask you, Damian Lillard, does he not get enough, attention nationally, in your opinion?
Oh, I agree. He doesn't. If he were in one of the big cities, especially out east, people would be talking about him all the time because the guy checks off all the boxes. I mean, he does everything. Okay, he's not the greatest defender, but everything else. He's a playmaker. He leads his team. And, you know, he's the kind of guy you want your kids to follow. He's just a great guy and a great player. And, you know, you never hear him talk about, boy, I want to get out of Portland, go to a bigger market. He's really wedded to that city, and they're really lucky to have him. And he's the reason why they have a chance to beat Oklahoma City. He's actually a dark horse to win the whole championship. But with Paul George being hurt the way he is right now, that really opens the door for Portland.
Right.
Yeah, it certainly does. And Oklahoma City shooting as poorly as they did behind the arc in game one of that series. So you like Portland to advance in that series, Ian?
I really don't know who to pick. Actually, before this series, I would have picked Oklahoma City. But if Paul George isn't himself, now you got to say Portland. Based on Damian Lillard, they have the home court, and the way they've recovered from last year's playoffs when they got smoked by New Orleans.
Ian, how about Denver and San Antonio? Spurs, not the core that we're used to. Popovich still there, unbelievable coach. Some of the other veteran players are still there. Denver, 2 seed in the Western Conference. Blip game one. Do you think Denver responds the rest of the series?
You know, that this is the hardest one to call because we don't know how Denver's going to respond. You know, these other teams, you can have faith that they're going to respond in a certain way, but Denver's got no experience in this kind of setting. This is their first time through, and San Antonio did the perfect thing. They're just putting a bit of pressure on Denver, and now see if the Nuggets implode, see if they can handle it. And I really don't know what's going to happen with them, if they're going to respond positively or not, and how that series is going to go. That I think the odds makers had that as the tightest series going in the playoffs, and for good reason. And San Antonio did everything they wanted to in the first game by putting pressure on Denver.
You know, Ian, Rockets' greatest threat to Golden State out west. I mean, offense, defense, in their opening round series against Utah, they had their way draining the threes. And when they're draining threes, I mean, that Houston offense is explosive, and we know how good Harden is. What about Rockets, Jazz, and Houston moving forward here?
Yeah, I Houston's my pick to win the whole thing.
It is.
Because they have the best player. They have the guy that carries his team. If Chris Paul is healthy, that's the whole question. But they've got that hunger that we were talking about with that Golden State doesn't have. They lost in a tough way last year. And the whole history of the NBA is of teams like this, that they lose in the playoffs, they lose in a bad way, and it makes them stronger. They come back, and they learn how to win. And I think that's exactly where Houston is. You know, on paper, Golden State ought to beat everybody, but when you take into account this idea of resilience and ambition and fire and playing with an edge, all those things, Houston has the advantage in all those areas over Golden State. So I really like Houston to win the championship this year.
Listen to CBS Sports Radio. Listen to Taz and Amoose. Our special guest right now is Ian Thompson, author of The Soul of Basketball. Hey, Ian, what's your thoughts, man? Luke Walton got a new gig, as we know. He's staying in California, but going up north there to Sacramento.
Yeah, how many times, guys, could we say about the Sacramento Kings that, like, Luke Walton found a team that was less dysfunctional than the one he was at before? So, like, you know, he's going to Sacramento saying, man, you guys really have your act together here compared to the place I was last time. You know, that says a lot about how bad the Lakers are going right now. And it's a promising sign for Sacramento. I think he's – when we talk about what Mike Budenholzer did for Milwaukee, I think Luke Walton has a chance to do that for Sacramento. Dave Yeager was a great coach for them, but – they should be playing fast. They should be playing a wide-open style with the kinds of players they have, and I think that's what he's going to do for them.
You mentioned the dysfunction in Los Angeles. I mean, they provided great conversation for Taz and myself, Ian, I'm sure, and you know, each and every morning. But, I mean, it's remarkable. I ask you this way. Do you think LeBron regrets it? I mean, it looks at quality of life. He's got that Laker uniform on now. But do you think LeBron regrets going to Los Angeles at all?
I don't think so yet. But the signs are not good. Because do you think Magic Johnson would have left if he thought it was a pretty sure thing that they were going to go get another star to go with LeBron? I don't know. I'm sure there's a number of reasons why he left the team. But I would think that's one of them, that it's just not shaping up well for them to go out and get a guy. Now, I'm not saying they can't, but an Anthony Davis trade doesn't look very promising right now, and you never hear any of the where there's smoke, there's fire talk about players going to Lakers right now. So
no.
They don't. It's amazing to me how the Knicks and the Lakers have more going for them than any franchise. They have more resources than any franchise. And they've both been dysfunctional now. Not the Lakers for the last few years, but the Knicks for 20 years. And I just don't know how a team can't get their act together to make use of all the money they've got and the market they got.
Now, Ian, with that being said, I grew up, I'm a lifelong Knicks fan, right? And Taz likes to poke fun at me from time to time for that. We'll get to Zion here and him declaring for the draft and what you think he's going to be in the NBA. You know, there's been a lot. Knicks fans are running around New York City clamoring for the idea of both Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving coming this summer as they have money for two max free agents. I mean, Is that realistic? I mean, is that a real possibility, a strong percentage, a chance? I mean, what about the Knicks being major players in free agency this summer and the likes of a KD coming east?
I mean, it's, you know, I understand why you get heat for being a Knicks fan.
Yeah.
And at the same time, they have the cap space to do it. They have the cap space to go get two guys, and they have a chance to get the number one pick on top of it with Zion. We'll know about that next month, you know, whether that comes true or not. And they've got the market. It's a place where if players think they could turn it around, they'd be remembered forever in the basketball capital of America. At least it should be the basketball capital of America, you know. So I understand why they would go there, but I also think, you know, there's a little bit of arrogance built into a player thinking he can go into a place and fix a problem that's been going on for 20 years
right.
that no one else has been able to fix. Look, it's the Knicks don't lose because of what the players do. The Knicks lose because of what the owner does and what the people around the owner do and how decisions are made and how just when they have a chance to do something good, they turn it into something bad. And all that stuff funnels down, and now you're asking Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving to fix all that, overcome all that. In my book, Pat Riley talks a lot about how his job as president of the Miami Heat is to set up an environment where these great players just have to worry about doing what they do best. And he puts them in position where LeBron can do what he does best, you know. I just don't see the Knicks doing that. If they get Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, I don't see them setting it up for these two guys to do what they do best. I think it's going to be more of a struggle than the players realize.
What about with Zion Williamson? A generation, he's a ridiculous athlete, you know, freaky with what he could do at 6'7", 285 pounds. You know, the second bounce off the floor, off the charts. What about Zion and what you think? I mean, I can't wait to see him in what he's going to do in the NBA after enduring what he did at Duke, Ian. What do you think Zion's going to be as an NBA player?
I agree. He's going to, you know, the game's going to open up for him in the NBA. Some players like him, they do better in the NBA than they do in college. And I would think the same for him. The only thing I worry about with him, it's the force with which he plays, the weight he carries and the explosiveness, just the tendons, the knees, the ankles, the hips, all that kind of stuff that becomes so important. One reason why LeBron has a chance to be the greatest player of all time is because, except for this year, he just doesn't miss games. He's figured out how to play with his explosiveness. The same with Michael Jordan, but we can all count down the names of greatly talented players who weren't able to play a lot because the way they played got them hurt. And that's going to be my only question with him. And it's all because of him destroying his shoe. How many players are that explosive enough they go right through their shoe? I just worry about him over an 82-game season year after year after year, what he can do. And hopefully it turns out to be nothing. Hopefully he's a great player, as he should be.
Yeah, Ian Thompson joining us, author of The Soul of Basketball. It's a great read. Ian, tell us a little bit about, you know, the book in terms of the journey you take the NBA and the basketball fan on.
Yeah, it goes back to that 2010-11 season when LeBron left Cleveland to go to Miami. He did the silly TV show, became the national villain. And during that year, the rest of the league, along with the Heat, beat him up, taught him hard lessons, and he listened. He became that great player. But it's also about this whole free agency era that we're in now where the players have all this power, but they're also very insecure having to deal with social media. You saw the other game, Amir Johnson looking at his phone on the bench. That's a big deal now.
That's horrible. It's horrible. It's unprofessional. Yeah.
At halftime, players go in the locker room and they turn on their phones and they want to know what people are saying about them. They worry about how they are seen by the public, and that never happened before. And it's created a whole new level of pressure on players, and it's really kind of changing the game a little bit.
No question about it. Ian Thompson, author, Soul of Basketball. Check it out wherever books are sold. Hop online, get it. It's a fantastic read. Ian's a great basketball writer as well. Hey, Ian, thanks a lot for the time this morning. We certainly appreciate the time.
Ian, thanks.
Hey, appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it.
I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.